David, I had the honor of meeting you at the Totality event in Denver. And when I did, it was instant. There was this connection, this admiration for what you're doing and your mission to empower like over 1 billion people to just live a life of happiness. And you do that in such a beautiful and profound way. And since our community here at the Heart Leader podcast is all about taking that heart and aligning it with mind and understanding how to live from that heart-centered and happy space, I thought, who better to learn from than a man who's out there really helping people learn how to live from that heart-centered belief space and understand what a happy life is. So if you're willing to share, first and foremost, what created that mission within you? That's a big mission. 1 billion people with happiness.
Yeah, well, I have learned my lessons along the way, but always had certain capabilities. And in 2008, I lost everything financially, over $100 million, and worked my way back up. And as I recovered and had everything once again financially, but this time in a different way, a paradigm shift of I am. What am I doing to interfere with it? A predisposition of wisdom and faith that got me to recover. I actually offered my wife a gratitude of, since you saved my life, of what can I do for you? Anything, buy anything, go anywhere. What can I do for you since you saved my life? And it was weird because at that moment, she said, you need to take care of yourself. You take care and you want to take care of everyone else, but you're not healthy. You are under a lot of pressure, and I need you to take care of yourself. And so, ironically, as we're having this conversation, my daughter, I have three daughters and a son. My daughter, who was 12 at the time, came screaming out of our new beach house, which I had bought, and just crying. And I'm like, whoa, 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 Mar, what's the matter? She said her friend had killed herself. And I just still can't fathom. I've been around addiction. I've been around PTSD. I've been around CTE in sports. And I understand how someone that suffers in that way at that stage of life would feel that way to take their own life. But I just, 12 years old, from an affluent family that had no addiction and just was unhappy, and nobody was there to help. So I took off my shoes in tears and told my wife I was going to go walk the beach. So I grounded myself to the sand and just walked and thought about what I could do. How big of an impact could I have? That I was blessed to have more than enough of everything. And I was always someone that was capable of making a lot of money, helping a lot of people, and having fun. And as I'm thinking about how can I use my superpowers of always being able to make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have fun, how could I help? And I realized that I could teach other people to make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun, that I've never met anyone who made a lot of money and helped a lot of people and had a lot of fun that wasn't happy. And so I started thinking, and I probably at that time would have been one of the last people who would have told you that God talks to people, that people will tell you they have these callings. And I will tell you, as I stand here today, that God spoke to me. He called me when I thought of this, and he said, this is why you're here. And that became my mission. Now I had to figure out, though, how I was going to do that for the whole world. And so I'm a math person. I'm very pragmatic. That's why I'm a great metaphysicist, because I understand the meta and the physical sides of things and studied hard to understand both. But I just came up with the math. I said, wow, in my lifetime, if I could empower 1,000 people, the right people, to empower another 1,000, to empower another 1,000, 1,000 times 1,000 is 1,000,000, and 1,000,000 times 1,000 is 1,000,000,000, 1/8 the entire world I could impact simply by working with 1,000 people in my lifetime. And that did not seem too far out of my reach. It seemed very realistic for the point in where I was in my life at that time. And here I am 10 years later. I've been on this mission for 10 years, and I'm well on my way of finding my first 1,000 people, including you, Amber, that I am going to assist in this empowerment mission of mine. And the scariest time was walking back to the house in tears and trying to explain to my wife after I just had the conversation about, wow, we really made it back. You know, what can I do taking care of myself, to now tell her that I was going to take care of myself so that I could empower over 1 billion people to be happy.
That's, to me, that's an incredibly exciting thing in so many levels. When you break it down, the connection you are willing to have through your belief, to know that you had the power within you to have that large of a ripple effect. So many things that we hear echoed in our community is, I'm one voice and I'm screaming out into an abyss. How can I have an impact? And you just showed how a single voice can have such a huge impact. Such a huge impact.
It's crazy because people my whole life, as other people, I'm sure, they laugh at you, scoff at you, make fun of you. But if you stay on your path in this divine direction, it's amazing how many people applaud you. And this one was big. And there's still people that laugh at me, scoff at me, and make fun of me. But there's more people that applaud and work with me. And I spoke in Puerto Rico at the National Entrepreneur Organization event last week. And they called me down there, and the head person said, you know why I hired you? And I said, well, I'm not really sure, but hopefully to impact all your members, these people, to impact others. He said, yeah, but the reason I chose you is I myself was going to kill myself. I wouldn't be here, but for a podcast, I heard you on Tom Bilyeu's podcast, and I was driving to drive off a cliff, and I was between the two mountains, one where I was from and the other to drive off, and I'm listening to this podcast, and I pulled over, cried, turned back around, and went home to my family. And I told myself that I, when I got into the position, the right mind, would share you as you were shared to me with the rest of my world. And he was in tears, and I thought to myself, wow, this is exactly why it's okay that people laugh at you, scoff at you, and make fun of you, because it doesn't matter what other people think or you think they think. It's one person at a time, like you said, that are going to change not only their own lives, but other people's lives as well.
And I had the fortune of being in the same room with you and feeling your message as well as hearing your message. And that was a beautiful experience for me. And I want to share this with our community because there is something to that. So if someone does have the opportunity to see you in person and feel that message, I can't encourage them enough to do that. I know you travel around the world and speak, and we're fortunate to have a global community. So in 113 countries, I know you travel around the world. If you have the opportunity, go see you in person, because there is that energy that also binds us together. And you talk about the metaphysical aspect of this. I don't know that I got to hear you talk about the metaphysical part of you. Are you willing to share that part
of your beliefs? Yeah, of course. And, you know, for me, understanding physics, quantum physics, and metaphysics, I actually trace calligraphies. I'm mentored by Sadhguru, by Master and Dr. Shah. I am a quantum healer. I utilize theta meditation, vibration, frequency. I have a vibroacoustic lounge in which I facilitate and understand frequency to the point of it, and simplistically explain that everything vibrates and you can only be aware of that which vibrates equal to or less than you. And so the earth, the plants, the animals, sound, light, and thought all vibrate. And the thought that vibrates the fastest is the truth. And so my definition of happiness is based off of the physical, metaphysical, and quantum physical, which is your ability to enjoy what you don't like or love about what you love consistently, every day, persistently, without quit, in the pursuit of your truth, figuring out what you're doing to interfere with it. And so in the simplicity of wisdom and faith and the physical and the metaphysical and the quantum physical, I am blank. What am I doing to interfere with it? And so I created values and daily practices and an execution model framework to help people not only align with the meaning of their past, which is the greatest limitation of your future. It's the shadow of the future. It's what stops us in our self-image, and we can never overachieve our own self-image. And so many times people are giving a meaning to what they can't see, or they think they see, or they think they know what someone's thinking and they can't see. But to align the meaning of the past in a divine direction of where we think we want to be or better, utilizing quantum physics and physics and metaphysics of intention. You think about the five levels of attention, which are physical, metaphysical, and quantum physical. You mentioned what the difference was being in the same room with me. It's because I understand these five levels of frequency of what I do, what I say, what I think, what I believe, and what I feel. And these five levels of attention each have a different frequency, which also congruently has a different awareness to it. And we can't see what we can't be aware of. And so to understand, you know, this paradigm shift of the infinite amount of everything, I can simplify it further. My faith is based off of metaphysical and quantum physical beliefs. It's best option faith of something bigger than me that loves me more than my mom. It's a simple belief of an omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing, infinite, abundant, unified system that I belong to, and so do you, and we're just interfering with it. People ask me, I'm 57 years old, going to be turning 58, and I have more energy than most people on earth. And it's not that I'm in better shape. I'm not even as good a shape as I was when I was 25, let alone professional athletes and the people I hang out with. I'm not particularly strong or fast or young, but I'll tell you this, that I interfere with the infinite less than most people on earth. I interfere with the infinite intelligence, intuition, inspiration, energy, less than most people. And I spend my 24 hours of incremental time identifying what I'm doing to interfere with it and shortening the distance of resistance created by it, not just with wisdom, but with faith. Faith that there's something bigger than me that loves me more than my mom.
I could talk to you about this for hours. So I became so interested in this that I actually went and got my degree in quantum physics so that I could understand the quantum nature, because it is, we draw these lines and these separations between science and spirituality, and we do all of these things to partition aspects of ourselves and our knowledge base. You were so kind, you gifted your book, and I'm going to like just show it here. So you gifted your book to everyone who is at this event.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say real quick to interrupt you, but I would like to gift your entire community my book. So if anybody would like that book, just I will send it to you. I'll pay for the book, pay for shipping. I want to empower the world. And that book, as Amber will tell you, is a framework and it assists me in my mission. So it's well worth the investment in your community. My email is posted there, david@dmeltzer.com. Anyone that emails me directly, I'll be happy to send that to you.
Yes. And we'll make sure it's in the show notes. So, and one thing I can say, you are a person of your word, of your energy, of which is why I'm so grateful you accepted this request that I made, because having you on this podcast with our community, we are 1.3 million members strong, and we are so integrated with one another because we know that there is this energy that flows between us. And having individuals like you who are willing to step forward and talk about that energy and say, there isn't a division between anything. There's this flow. And when you understand the levels, the importance, the joy, the happiness, and this is how I can share and how I experience it, then you do feel it. It is palpable being in the same room with you. But we do still have this human essence to us. We desire to understand. There has to be a pathway. And you provide that pathway too. So are you willing to talk about the framework or the pathway that you are talking about that this book can provide?
Yeah. You know, it's all about understanding the human experience. So first, defining the human experience is easier than most people understand. You are given a body. It is here to learn lessons. The lessons will keep on coming until you learn them. You will forget every single lesson there ever was and ever will be, but you have the power to remind, remember, and recollect every lesson that there ever was and will ever will be. Becoming more apparent now with technology that we have that capability, comparatively in the past when I studied the Akashic records before Google, before AI, it was a little conceptually difficult for most people. Now, it's much more heightened because of Google and AI, how there could be an infinite record repository that we can access. But within the context of this human experience, this embodiment, it has and starts with your heart. The heart itself starts. That's the beginning of the human experience. When the heart stops, that's the end of the human experience. It is separated by a constant. And the constant that is separated by is 24-hour increments. It's the only common denominator of all human experience. Every other variable in the trillions is variant, including your fingerprint. But beyond that, that measure is the incremental time of the human experience. And so I help people with their behaviors that will align with their divine direction in a 24-hour increment. I also remind them that it's guaranteed, that we're all guaranteed 24 hours every day of our human experience, except for the last day, you will be cheated. And when we put things into that perspective, that I'm going to maximize my 24 hours and then separate it with non-negotiable behaviors so that we're actually taking the most fear-based insecurity that human beings have, which is called uncertainty. We're taking circumstance out of the equation. We're creating divine control of our lives, a predisposition of faith by saying, no matter what God gives me in this 24-hour period, I will spend a minimum amount of time on my sleep to recover and access God. I will spend a minimum of time with my family. I will spend a minimum amount of time on my health. I will spend a minimum amount of time on my finance. I will spend a minimum amount of time on my faith. I'll spend a minimum amount of time studying time, and I'll spend a minimum amount of time studying relativity. And as we aggregate the minimums of non-negotiable behavior, that's half of my life is non-negotiable. It's non-circumstantial. In other words, it's certain. And that certainty provides us 90% of the aggregation, acceleration, and compounding impacts of a divine direction of where we think we want to be or better. Now, life becomes fun with the other 12 hours of awake time because it's completely circumstantial. It's completely arbitrary. It is divided by a bunch of prioritized, and post-prioritized behaviors that only result in about 10% of your outcomes. But yet, it provides a variance of enjoyment, of learning to love what you don't like or love about what you love, learning to be consistent and persistent in the prioritization of what's important to you according to the circumstances. And truly, in this measurement of the human experience and the incremental nature of time, we can utilize our entire human experience to learn more, to give more, to be given more, to receive more, and to ask for more than more, so that we can learn more than more, be given more than more, receive more than more, and ask for more than more. In other words, we can live in that infinite, abundant, unified system of thought of more than enough of everything for everyone. That's what the book will teach you. It is a framework to success, fulfillment, passion, purpose, and believe it or not, profitability. Because when you have a mission that's driven with a framework like this, the commissions will follow.
And I know it's easy, and we do hear it. Thankfully, we have a very vocal community. They have no problem sharing how they feel and what they think. It's a beautiful thing. But one of the big things is it's very easy to hypothesize about, we feel very much the way that you just described. But often they'll say it's easy to hypothesize about this, or if you're in that flow, it's so easy to stay in it, but I can't get there. I'm so caught in my fear. I'm so stuck that I can't get to what you're talking about. So if you had someone come up to you after one of these beautiful discussions that I got to hear, and they said, look, David, I'm just stuck. I hear what you're saying, but no matter how much I've done, I can't get to what you're talking about. What would you say to them?
Number one, you're already here. You're just interfering with what you want by being here. And the best way and the easiest practice that I would help you with is your response to your instant and obvious reaction to fear. You see, too many people are trying to figure out what they're afraid of. And with all the past lives we have and the womb trauma, the infant, toddler, tween, teen, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s traumas that are existing, we waste too much time and energy on something we have no knowledge or capability of having knowledge of, which is fear. Fear is always there. You can't overcome fear. It's going to always be there. And the nice thing about fear is the reaction to it is instant and obvious. When you have a need to be right, or a need to be offended, a need to be separate or inferior or superior, when you have a need to be anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, resentful, or worried, you don't need a therapist or Tony Robbins to tell you you're pissed off, worried, sad. You don't need it. Those are instant and obvious reactions to a fear that you may think you know what you're afraid of, but most of the time we don't. It's not like a saber-toothed tiger is walking past our cave and it's obvious these days what we're afraid of. It could be deep-seated, all types of problems that we have. But let me just tell you the solution for those people out there that are going to say, I can't get there. You're already there. So next time the instant and obvious occurs, I don't want you to respond by accelerating into it, trying to resist it, go over it, under it, through it, around it, logic it, analyze it, deny it, lie to it, cheat it, manipulate it. Don't do it. You're just exacerbating the situation. What I want you to do is something of free will, and it's not easy. Remember, the simple things to do are simple not to do. I want you to stop. Next time your mind, body, and soul are on fire, I want you to stop. Don't resist it. Breathe through your nose, out through your mouth. Drop to center. Recollect, remind, and remember your source. Where and what walks with you. Remind yourself that I am already here. I am happy. I am healthy. I am wealthy. I am worthy. I just got to figure out what I'm doing to interfere with it. And when your mind, body, and soul are on fire with the need to be right, offended, separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, I just want you to stop when you're on fire, drop to ease into the flow, and then roll into the divine direction that you were meant to be on, to somewhere better than you could even imagine. Just like your mom told you, when you're on fire, you need to stop, drop, and roll. So anyone out there that feels like can't get there, they'll never get there, it's too difficult, you're already there. Let's just figure out what you're doing to interfere with it. Let's start with the instant and obvious and how you respond to that. And I promise you, you will make a lot of money, you will help a lot of people, and you will have a lot of fun. Amber, I can't tell you how grateful I am for being here. What an unbelievable opportunity to share with your tremendous community. I hope they reach out to me and get my books, my guides, my exercises for free. David@dmeltzer.com.
Absolutely. Thank you for gifting us your time. We will make certain that they have all avenues to get a hold of you, from your email address to get the book, to your website to learn more about you and everything you have in motion. Are all of your upcoming events on your website so they know where to get a hold of you?
There'd be too many for all of them, but at least the next month. So we're always at least a month ahead, but we are in 200 cities a year. And we do speeches, interviews, meetups, holding courts, VIP lunches, breakfasts, and dinners. And we have a credible community of people, free trainings for Napoleon Hill and the chairman of Napoleon Hill Institute, and also Friday trainings for 28 years. So every day we have a whole bunch of things going on virtually or in person.
Fantastic. Well, we'll make sure that we get all of that out there. Again, thank you. Thank you for the light that you shine in this world. It is a gift, and anything we can do to continue to amplify what you already are, then we are here to do so.
God bless you. Thank you so much.